Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
About everything that we do every day works pretty well, right? I mean, the lights are on right now and things are flowing. But obviously, these big news stories have really shown that organizations certainly do have a lot of soft spots. And, you know, one of the most frustrating things with a lot of these is that it's pretty consistently the same types of issues that are leading to these events. And really, it is a huge question. You know, the government regulates a lot of things, right? They regulate the safety and security of a lot of things in our daily lives, whether it's food or utilities or whatever it may be. And there's been conversations for years, I mean, as long as I've been in this business, you know, for the past 15 years about, you know, what is the government going to, you know, force organizations to do, or what support? I think this is one of those things where there's so many different issues that are all kind of culminating in all these events, and it's really challenging to get ahead of.
When software is encrypted and then held for ransom, and then, stop me if I'm saying it wrong, Jason, I believe I got it right. Alex, rather, I believe I got it right. And then you pay the ransom. How do you know that the data that is released is not in and of itself, that it contains a time bomb where you're going to be paying another ransom in a year? Is there any way to determine that?
So there is, but it requires a lot of assessment and review and auditing and looking at the code and what happened. So cleaning it up, you know, requires a lot of work. And even before that, you know, when you pay these ransoms, you're not always guaranteed to get a working encryption, you know, key. So you may not even be able to get your data back anyway. And, you know, in some of these big hacks or these big ransomware attacks, what we're seeing is even when they pay the ransom and get the encryption key, it takes so long to de-encrypt that they just end up restoring their own backups anyway. So that it's but really there's no assurance. No, there's no assurance that, you know, A, you're going to get a good key and B, that the data is going to be good after that.
So what prompted us to want to have you on, I dented my lawnmower and I found a fix for it on YouTube, and it involved a double jaw turnbuckle, which I made the mistake of Googling to try to find. And now I don't care if I go to the obituary part of online to see if who died. I don't care if I go to a religious website. I don't care where I go. I get pop-up ads for double jaw turnbuckles. Now, two things. First of all, Alex, it didn't fix the lawnmower, so I don't need another one. Secondly, when does this end? When do I stop getting pop-ups for double jaw turnbuckles?
So there are a couple of issues. First off, my condolences to your mower. My kids make fun of me how much I love my mower. I've got flames on it, and I've got black plastic wheels.
Do
and
you really?
Shifter. Oh, yeah, I take it pretty seriously. I love it.
You want to come over and help me fix the deck?
I wouldn't mind. I love. That's one of my favorite things is mowing. If I'm not doing all security, right. I love to mow. So.
Good.
But really, oftentimes, once you search for something, there's a lot of factors that go into how often you're going to see that pop up again. You know, everyone's really familiar, I think, at this point with cookies, you know, little pieces of code that stay on your computer and your browser that follow you around the internet. But But really, there's a lot of other ways you're tracked too. You know, whether it's from social media sites or Amazon or whatever it may be, you know, using the unique ID of your device or your computer. And they really, it's amazing how these marketers oftentimes know more about us than we do. You would think, though, at some point they'd want to stop paying for ads for that single part and assume that maybe you bought one by now. So there are questions about that.
That was the question. Do I have to buy one online for it to cease, or will that just make it worse?
It'll probably make it worse. You know, that's happened to me all the time, where I'll buy something, and especially something you don't buy very often, and they'll keep trying to sell you another one. So it's not a perfect science. But, you know, it really goes back to – it's been, about a decade now. There was an article in one of the major newspapers, you know, it was about, does Facebook know that you're pregnant before you do? Because people were starting to notice that they'd start getting ads for, you know, things related to babies or whatever it was, you know, before they even knew they were pregnant. And then turns out they were pregnant. And it really, you know, came down to the way they aggregate this data. So they kind of would start to put things together. You know, if you got married and you changed your status online, or if you took a trip to, you know, a certain place, that a number of factors, you know, would come together to generally mean that there's a high probability somebody would get pregnant within a certain amount of months. They'd start advertising to you. So it really is incredible just how much data they have about us all the time.
How does it happen when, and it happened here with us, talking about, of all things, Aaron Burr. I don't know how we got onto that. But it was back when we were in the studio, before COVID. I just mentioned Aaron Burr. The phone wasn't on. And then before you know it, I start getting pop-up things for Aaron Burr, the museum, this, that, the other thing. How in the world did that happen? I didn't search for it. I didn't look it up. I was having a conversation with some other people verbally about Aaron Burr, and then all of a sudden my phone picks up on that. How does that happen?
So there's a few things. You know, one possibility is that, you know, you've given access, you know, to certain applications to listen to your microphone, and that's possible. That's probably the least likely. But really what's more likely is that there are just a lot of different factors in your searching, even if you didn't specifically search for Aaron Burr. Mm-hmm. You know, you may have been searching other things that kind of line up with, you know, the attributes of someone that would be going to the museum or would be doing those things. I assume you're not searching about duels.
No.
But definitely, you know, it really is fascinating how they can take pieces of information that don't seem relevant and then, you know, have them kind of come together and show something different. Now, another possibility, though, is the way psychics work at a lot of those things is that they really focus on the fact that if they might tell you 30 things, and if one of them is true, you'll trust it all, right? Yeah. So it may be that you also got, you know, 200 other ads about things that you never talked about and have no interest in and don't even notice those. But because coincidentally you got an ad for something you talked about, it feels like they were probably listening.
But Aaron Burr is pretty obscure, you'd have to admit, right?
Oh, I would absolutely admit that. So there's a few different things that could have happened. You know, and maybe the other thing, though, keep in mind, is that the advertisers also will create associations. So if you and I are chatting and email all the time, and then I'm searching for, you know, the Aaron Burr Museum, then you might get served an ad for it just based on our relationship and based on they know that we chat and are sending emails back and forth. So there's that layer, too. It may have been one of your friends that you talk to regularly.
Let's take a break. We'll pick it up here when we come back. If you all have any questions or comments, text them, please, to 504-260-1870, the Open Heart Jeweler talk and text line. What about ransomware in our phones? Is that possible where we're going to find out that our phone's been locked up, and if we want to get the encryption for it or get it back open, get back into it, we're going to have to pay somebody $50? Are we perched on a precipice of that? That and a lot more when we come back. Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us. Monday morning, June 7th, talking about that scary place called the Internet. Cyberspace, back in a flash, WWL. A couple of notable hacks in the last couple of weeks. And, I don't know if you've ever, as we said earlier, talked about something or you search for something and then all of a sudden you got ads all over the place. And the question is, how many companies are tracking us? How much of our data is out there and how much do we acquiesce to because we don't read the damn agreement? We just check. Sure. Absolutely. Give it to me. Alex Hammerstone, our guest, GRC practice lead for Trusted Sec. And I want to get some listeners' questions in, Alex, if I may. The Oakland Heart Jeweler talking text line 504-260-1870. This text says, I buy McAfee, but I still get tons of spam, threats, and nonsense. Is it really working?
So it depends. You know, oftentimes, you know, the software that we'll buy will help kind of lower the number of issues that we have. But it really isn't going to fix everything. So you still may get a number of things. The second is that a lot of the software that we buy is really based on understanding threats that are already out there and can sometimes miss new threats. So it certainly is helpful to have. We certainly recommend that people have antivirus software and other things like that. But it certainly is not a silver bullet. It's not going to get you everything you need, unfortunately.
Another text comes in. I upload everything to the cloud and pay for storage on the cloud, but how do I know that the cloud can't be hacked?
So that's another great question. And the answer is that we don't, right? I mean, because the cloud is a very broad definition. And, you know, there are big companies that offer cloud storage. There's, you know, some smaller ones. And so really, you know, with a lot of these things, we don't actually hold our data, right? Our data is only as secure as whoever we give it to, or whoever has it or where we're storing it. So obviously going with a reputable company is important, but also your password is extremely important and having multi-factor authentication so that you kind of get that text code or some other way to verify who you are before you log in. Because if you look back, if you remember when a lot of celebrities were having issues with their pictures being stolen and things like that, they weren't actually stealing them from their phones. They were stealing them from the cloud storage. And it was oftentimes due to weak passwords. So anything you're putting on the cloud is really only going to be as secure as the password that you choose.
So when it comes to these apps, we know nobody reads the agreement. And even if we did, we probably wouldn't understand 90% of it. It's just, sure, absolutely, accept. Give it to me. Do we even know how much information they're collecting? And what kind of sharing goes on between companies that, you know, for this app, they'll collect this, for the other app, they collect that, then they get together and see what either can profit from? Is that the way it works, kind of?
Absolutely, and in a number of ways. You know, first off, there was somebody did a performance art project a while back where they printed out all the end user license agreements from, you know, the sites that most people use, like, you know, Facebook and Google and all those other ones. And the stacks of paper, you can't even believe how long some of these agreements are and what we're agreeing to without reading it. I mean, nobody reads it. I mean, it would be just, you know, hundreds of hours a year to read all these. And so we kind of rely on, you know, organizations that, you know, nonprofits that kind of look through these things and try to parse them. But that's assuming that all these companies are honest about what they're doing with the data and what they're collecting. So people do just click. Now, of course, if you have things like Facebook or Google, there tend to be a lot of organizations and attorneys that are looking at those things from a consumer perspective, and so you can get some information. But really, if you look at all this free stuff, you know, all these free games people are downloading or whatever they are, they oftentimes will ask for permission to your data that just seems ridiculous, right? They'll ask, I mean, why does a game where you're kind of shooting birds at something need to know your location or need to see your friends list or whatever it is? So we agree to a lot of this. But there also are, it's a huge business where people collect this data and they sell it to aggregators who put it all together. Because even times when you think someone only has a bit of data about you, well, if you sign up for 5 or 6 apps that all have a bit of data and somebody else is aggregating all that data, all of a sudden they get a really good picture of who you are and what you're doing. So a lot of the things that we're just downloading day to day, you know, are causing us issues. We don't even know it.
What is it? Individuals aren't predictable, but groups of people are, I guess. That's what they count on. Or maybe in this case, individuals are predictable because you're kind of giving them a little roadmap of who you are and what you're about by what you download.
Absolutely. Although that actually makes a really good point about groups versus individuals. Because on the one thing, you know, if you think about, you know, during COVID, there were some around here, at least, they had some things where they were tracking the number of cell phones in the parks to know whether the parks were crowded, right? They didn't know that it was me there. They just knew that there were, you know, 500 people there. And so that's one thing. Or if you look at traffic, you know, a lot of times the apps that will tell you what's going on with traffic, it's not because they have drones or traffic cameras. It's because they can see all these phones moving around. So they can see a ton of phones you know, sitting on a certain highway, not moving, so they know there's a traffic jam. And so that's one thing versus, well, you know, do you actually know what I buy personally? What does Alex buy or what does Tommy buy, right? That's a much different thing, you know, having that, you know, the group data versus the very personal, very targeted data. And so that's another thing to consider as well. You know, I'm generally fine with, you know, when you think about it, because I enjoy the benefits of knowing where there's traffic. So I'm okay with, you know, Google or whomever knowing, you know, that my phone is sitting in traffic. Am I as okay with them knowing exactly what I buy and when and where I am? Well, that's a little bit different.
Can we take any comfort in the fact that we're paying for the app as opposed to getting it for free? Or are we basically signing the same agreement and giving the company access to the same data?
Sometimes we can take some comfort. You know, we have a lot of privacy agreements. You know, certainly, you know, a lot of the organizations that we work with that we are paying will, you know, they don't need as much. They don't need to make money by selling our data. But if you think about it, if you think about all these companies that are out there, you know, building applications, you know, how are they making money? If you're not paying for that application, they're making money somehow. They're not doing it for free. They're not a charity. And so they really are collecting data. You know, there's a people talk about data being the new oil. There's been this just huge rush to gather and aggregate all this data. You know, years ago, even if you had all this data, you couldn't do much with it, right? Because there wasn't the processing power, the computing power. Because when you start to get into connections and all these, you know, connections that you make with the data and with people and everything else, it takes so much computing power, but now we have it. So now organizations can, you know, compute all this data and really put these pictures of us together.
Somebody texted in a question, and it's something I've been through too. You click on a news story, and you got to accept the cookies, although sometimes I still get the story if I don't accept the cookies. If the user does accept, what exactly are they agreeing to?
So generally what happens, you know, the cookie is it's a little piece of code that goes into your browser under your computer, and then it allows the company to kind of follow you around and see what you were clicking on. You know, see what site you go to next, you know, how you're browsing. And some of it makes sense. You know, there are times when targeted advertising or targeted information, you know, is great. I mean, would you rather, you know, log on to a news site and see, you know, a number of stories and advertisements that are actually relevant to you or just a bunch of random stuff? Uh-huh. So there can be benefits to the consumer. You know, we could certainly debate that all day. But, you know, when you're agreeing to cookies, you know, you're generally agreeing, you know, to that little piece of code that's going to kind of let them track you around the internet a bit.
So when I agree, I download an app, and I agree to all of this stuff that is, you know, God knows how many words, and even if I did read it, I wouldn't understand it. And then even if a lawyer read it, there would be 15,000 interpretations of it, I'm sure. Am I also compromising whomever I interact with via my electronic device? Am I compromising their security as well?
So that's probably more of a, I can't say yes or no simply, but really you got to think about sometimes when you agree to download these apps, you may be giving the application permission to see your friends list or see your friends' profiles and things like that. So in that sense, yes. If you do end up being compromised, you know, if your computer is compromised and a hacker uses it to send emails from your account, people are more likely to open what you send, right, because it came from you or it seems to have come from you. But or if you're downloading something at work, right, onto a machine or a phone that you then connect to your work network, you know, if that – you can certainly compromise the network that way. But so it really depends on what data you have as far as kind of what data can be taken and used in other ways.
So when you accept an agreement for an app, are you giving them access to everything on your phone, including messages, pictures, et cetera?
No, so generally no. So the answer is almost never for messages. The answer is sometimes for pictures, although depending on, you know, whether you're using Android or Apple, you know, it can be a little bit more restrictive. But if you think about it, if you download an app that's going to manipulate your photos, right, like you download some kind of app to be able to, you know, put filters on your pictures or crop them or whatever it is, that app needs access to your photos. Sometimes it'll just access the one photo that you give it permission to. Some apps, when you are clicking those accept buttons, you may be giving them permission to access all your photos. And for a lot of people, you know, they have very personal photos, or, you know, your photos contain information about where you go or what you do, or other things. It certainly can be a concern and should be a concern.
Should you periodically remove cookies? And I would say if you do, you'd better have a good list of your passwords, right?
So, yes. And it really, a lot of security comes down to how much risk are you willing to take on for convenience. And so it's not just the passwords. You know, it could be your username, even if you end up having to fill in your password yourself, or it could be your browsing habits, or it could be that, you know, the website knows that you love a certain football team or and shows you those stories. So getting rid of your cookies can certainly make your browsing experience, you know, more difficult and less, you know, less relevant to you. But it's not a bad idea necessarily to go through your list of cookies and see if there are any you don't recognize and delete those.
All right, more when we come back. We're talking to Alex Hammerstone, GRC Practice Lead for TrustedSec, our friend who tries to help us understand the implications of Internet security, if there is such a thing. And if you have any questions or comments about how companies track you across your apps and devices, feel free to text them into the Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. And I'll pass them along to Alex when we come back. Time for traffic now on WWL. 9:42, 18 before 10, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Alex Hammerstone, GRC Practice Lead for TrustedSec. Somebody texted in and said, could you please ask Alex about Linkbait, where they make suggestions like below to get you to click on the link. Your order was delivered, your order, whatever it is, and then they give you a link. What is all that about?
So that's just another way for you know, hackers and scammers to try to get you to click on something, because really their goal is to get you to click and take you to a site where you then enter your credentials and your username and your password or bank account information. And so what they want to do is just trick you. You know, we all order from certain online sellers all the time. So if you get an update from the shipper or that purports to be from that seller, it's much more likely that we'll click it. You know, one of the things to look out for with any of those is always that sense of urgency. So they'll tell you there's a delay or there's a problem and you need to, you know, enter your information to click it. But really, it's just another way of them trying to trick you.
I've recently signed up for internet dating on Match.com. And for myself and other people like me that have done it, what kind of holy hell have I just unleashed on myself?
So that's I can answer that in two ways, right, with the dating scene right now. But when it comes to our information, you know, those sites tend to be very focused on privacy. They the ones that I know of spend a lot of money and a lot of effort to keep your data secure. And so from a data perspective, there's probably less to worry about than there is just, you know, with kind of you know, a lot of the random creeps that are out there using those services.
So, and I wondered about some of the scams that are going on within that, and I guess it does go to the other part of what you were saying about the actual dating part of it, but I see pictures of women that are 20 purporting to be 50, others that are manipulating the message or their profile so it gives a phone number, etc. And I was just wondering why they don't have a better handle on who's on this and profiles, et cetera, to keep it safer.
I think certain sites do. You know, some sites are much more closed than others and do a lot more vetting of, you know, the people using them, et cetera. You know, others are designed to really just kind of be the Wild West. You know, dating scams are very common. But I will say that, you know, I have a lot of friends that work at those sites in IT, and et cetera. And they really do work day in and day out to try to stop these scammers. There are just so many of them. You know, the best tip that I can give anyone, you know, that's using dating sites is stay on the app as long as possible. So if you meet somebody on there and within the first couple comments, they want you to start texting them, it's because they're trying to get off that platform. They're trying to get you to a place where there are not protections. You know, those dating sites generally will have software in there to look for people saying inappropriate things or sending links or whatever it may be. So anyone that wants to scam you is going to try to get you to stop using the built-in, you know, messaging functions of those sites and get you right to text messaging as quickly as possible.
I have, because I'm doing this for work partially, called the numbers when people have put their numbers out there like that, and sometimes it's they listen and hang up. So different things happen. Have I exposed myself to any liability by, or not liability, but just calling their numbers? Have I exposed my data at all just by returning the call?
You're not necessarily exposing your data, but you're certainly letting them know that that's a real phone number you're calling from.
Okay.
Because a lot of times they use auto dialers and will just try every number out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you call them, they know that that's a real phone number, and it's one to put on their list as a real person to try to scam.
I got you. Somebody texted in here, can you ask about the safety of using password managers such as Google Chrome Password Manager?
So each of the password managers have their own advantages and disadvantages. But all in all, you know, password managers are a great product for people. You know, what it does is it allows you to have secure storage of all your passwords in one spot. And then you have a master password that allows you to access all your passwords. Now, it should go without saying that that master password is extremely important. And what I suggest for those is using a passphrase or something that's easy to remember. So maybe some song lyrics or something like that that, you know, might be 50 characters long, because you're not going to be going into that password manager that often.
50 or 15?
50, because you can, if you think about it, right?
Did you say 550?
Well, it can be, sure. So, I mean,
wow.
if that's the password to maintain all your other passwords, because, no, I'm not saying a 50-character or a 30-character, you know, complex password that's just random numbers and letters. But if you just had your password be, you know, a certain lyric of a song that you'll never forget, it's pretty easy to remember and type out, but it's pretty tough to crack. Now, you want to make sure it's not easily guessable. But again, that would recommendation would be only for your master password, you know, the password that protects all the other passwords.
Wow. One thing that disturbed me last night was that now apparently you don't even have to develop your own ransomware. You can go somewhere and either rent ransomware or use it. Or what is the latest as far as that goes, Alex?
So that's really been true since the dawn of you know, the dawn of internet scams and hackers and everything else, is that, you know, a lot of times we picture people, you know, writing code and kind of, you know, in a basement wearing a black hoodie and, you know, typing these things out. But a lot of this ransomware and malware and viruses and everything else is sold. People buy these programs, and there's a huge market for them. And so it's really easy, just like buying any other software. You know, a lot of the things that are out there, you know, getting people and hitting people are just purchased. You know, it's just you go out and you buy software to hack. It's just hacking software. So that's been around really, you know, for as long as I've been around. And
wow.
It's extremely common.
In terms of basics, before we let you go, that people can do to try to keep themselves safe?
So there are a number of things. You know, we talk about kind of good cyber hygiene as a kind of an odd expression. But it comes down to a number of things. You know, I always want people to remember that you are, if you're the victim of one of these things, you're absolutely a victim. And crime victims, you know, should, you know, obviously the criminal is at fault. But there are a number of things that we can do to, you know, try to prevent these things. Number one, make sure your computer is backed up, you know, so save things offline. You wouldn't want to lose all your family pictures or things like that if something happens. Be very careful what you click. You know, use strong passwords. Don't use the same passwords across multiple sites. You know, if you look at some of these big hacks that have been in the news recently, that's what it was. That's how they got in. It was somebody using the same password for work that they're also using on some personal site, you know, that ends up getting hacked. So please use different passwords across the different sites that you use. It's tough. I get it. It's a pain to have all these passwords, but that's so important. You know, also use that multi-factor authentication so you're getting kind of a text message and other things, you know, before you log into these accounts as well.
If I have my passwords saved as a note on my iPhone, can somebody get to that and have all of my passwords for the different things?
They can, and that really goes back to, you know, what we talked about a little bit earlier with these application permissions. So if you download these random apps, you may be giving them permission to your notepad or your photos or other things like that. So I will say that, you know, storing you know, your passwords on a notepad, whether on your computer or your phone, is generally not recommended.
All right. Well, it's going to be nothing but pencil and paper for me from now on. Thank you, Alex. I appreciate your time. I really do. And if I get that lawnmower running, I'm putting flames on it. I guarantee you.
Awesome. I'd love to see it.
You have a good day. Alex Hammerstone, GRC practice lead for Trusted Sec.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.